that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later. And often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423. Well, hello once again. Name of the show is Boomer Tech Radio, and I am Bob Belongi.
Along with Brenda Belongi.
And we are analog living in a digital world. Welcome to the program with goodies, gadgets, gizmos, live today with the tech news that you can use. And we skipped last week because we were on a road trip, but here we are back in the reality. We are not on tape this time. Now, if you're listening, of course, to the podcast, you would be listening to bits. We don't use tape anymore. We still use the, it's one of those antiquated phrases like dialing the phone.
I know.
What was another one? I think you were and somebody was, there was an antiquated phrase that we grew up with.
I don't know. There's all kinds of things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, we even have terms, as we've noted in the nautical world, that originated in the nautical world,
but really Nelson's aren't applicable. Navy, yeah.
Yeah, they aren't really applicable today in with cars or something. But it's like cut across my bow or whatever, you know,
yeah.
Which is still valid in the nautical world.
Taken aback is a nautical term.
That
for
is,
when
yep.
you turn your nose into the wind on your ship, you would literally take the wind the wrong way in your sails and push your ship backwards, which in a battle was a bad thing.
Technically, well, it might be handy too, but technically those are still valid because there are certainly ships with
right,
sail power
right,
and that
certainly.
Sort of thing. But we use them in everyday applications that are not in the nautical world. So it's
yeah.
really interesting. How
showing someone
things.
The ropes.
Yeah.
There's a whole, we had a whole list of those somewhere.
It's pretty fun.
Of nautical terms from Nelson's Navy that
right.
are
standard
in
phrases.
Our lexicon.
Yeah. I had a friend one time that was so excited that they finally caught on to what bird dogging something was. and he goes, "Do you know what bird dogging means?" I said, "Yes." He said, "What is it?" And so I explain it and he goes, "Oh, I just can't trip you up."
And of course, more recently, and in more recent history, things like Googling it has become a verb for looking up something on the web. And you may or may not actually use Google. Bing, would, Microsoft obviously wishes that you didn't Google something. They'd rather you Bing something, which doesn't have quite the same, you know, je ne sais quoi to it. We had some adventures. The reason we weren't here last week is because we were on a
road trip of epic proportions.
Yeah, a whirlwind tour, and had some interesting things happen along the way. We drove to Sacramento, caught a flight in Sacramento to Phoenix, Arizona. In Phoenix, Arizona, we picked up a car that we were purchasing and drove it back one of the hottest freaking days of the year across the Mojave Desert. How smart was that? But the car did well. It's actually a hybrid, which is interesting to play with the technology.
Yes, very interesting.
And while we were driving along, we were listening to Leo Laporte's Tech Guy show, which if you want to catch a podcast, it's a great podcast. But one of the things that was interesting was difficulty people have sometimes with trying to get their device to connect to their car, which is right now there's a few different standards. A lot of these car manufacturers want you to use their app to
mm-hmm.
connect your phone to the car.
Right. So
and the
they
apps
know
are
what
usually
you're doing.
Terribly written.
Right. But why do you need an app to connect with your car.
Well, again, so they can harvest
your data. It's like, don't think so.
And that's a couple of topics we're going to touch on, is that our entertainment has become data siphons for these corporations. And the corporations, of course, are more than happy to provide us, quote, free services in exchange for just about every detail of our personal lives. We leave our little digital footprints everywhere. And leading off here, the man who literally wrote the code for the genesis of the Internet back in and released it to the world back in 1991. See, before 1991, there was no such thing as a public Internet. It was a communication system that the U.S. government had put together, DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. I just don't remember that. And this was a way for scientists to exchange data, and they were using that also in Switzerland at the CERN laboratory, which was the big...
still is.
Yeah, the big research lab there. And there were things in place like CompuServe, AOL.
Oh, yeah. Was Telenet part of that?
Telenet. Oh, yeah. I can remember $6 an hour to dial into Telenet to get onto CompuServe or a service called American People Link, which was a 300 baud chat room. And you had your little amber or green plain text screen. That's when people were creative, because you had a whopping 64, if you were very lucky, a whopping 64 kilobytes of memory in your PC. And it's amazing that, like the automation system that runs our commercials and stuff here runs in less than a megabyte of RAM. Which, of course, no Windows device could possibly do that, because you got to do all the graphics and the Windows and all that. But if you're dealing in pure command line text, you can write some pretty compact code. And that was when memory was just idiotically expensive. So people who wrote programs had to write them lean and mean, which was where remember the Y2K freak out?
Oh, yes.
The reason for that is because back in the days when you had to make every byte count, coders took shortcuts, and one of those shortcuts was to eliminate the first two digits of the date. So Y2K came about because it was realized that some programs that were looking at a date...
Right. Couldn't recognize that whether it was 19 something or
2000
something. 01
is less
something.
Than 99 as far as a computer is concerned.
Right.
Or 00. And in fact, 00 makes some computers have complete constipation. when you're calculating a date range and things like that. So there was, remember the panic and the money that was being, you were working in an unnamed government agency. and there had to be like this huge panic. Oh my God, all our computers are going to melt into little puddles on the floor. And so that never made vast amounts of money were spent.
But it never made sense to me. It ended up being this conspiracy thing that, you know, I think I had a computer at the time and I said, whatever. Nothing happened.
There were people who thought that the entire world economic strata was going to disintegrate overnight. That when midnight, there were movies made about this. Remember that?
Yep.
And that all hell was going to break loose, and there would be riots in the streets, and there would be no food, and the sky would fall, and dogs and cats living together.
Yes. I remember that. It was such a panic. And January 1...
The worst parts of the Bible.
January 1 comes and goes just like any other day.
Not a thing happened.
Nothing happened.
And of course, the government said, well, we took these precautions. And these very well-paid consultants and coders said, we made sure that didn't happen.
I was going to say, I'm sure there was a lot of furious coding going on to fix all of that. I mean, now we get routine updates and
sometimes at an annoying pace.
Yeah, well, there's that too, but you know, they're always fixing something.
You know, if you don't turn on your Windows machine every stinking day, you go to turn, so let's say it's just an occasional use machine. I've got a couple of those. You turn it on and it's been a couple of weeks. Oh, my God.
Yep, yeah, you have to do a little...
cumulative update.
Yes, you have to do a little pre-planning because you might as well park it overnight and let it do its thing. So turn it on the day before you think you're going to use it, and then it'll catch up. It is really annoying. Yeah.
So Tim Berners-Lee, nice British chap, who attended Oxford and then went to work for CERN, in 1989 came up with an idea that eventually became the World Wide Web, because the web and the internet are two distinctly different things. The web is an overlay on the internet, is the backbone. That's the conduits through which everything travels through, where an internet protocol routes packets of data. When you listen to this show on a stream or you watch your Netflix, you're still using
YouTube.
That original technology, or your YouTube, you're still using that technology from 30 years ago where it's not a wire connecting your computer to, like in your home stereo system. This is a data network that breaks the information down into digital packets and sends them one after the other. And then they are reassembled at the user end. They're reassembled inside your computer. That's called a codec, coding, decoding. And if the packets don't arrive in precisely the right order, there's a buffer that fills up and takes the time to reassemble those packets. That's why when you start watching a movie on your Netflix or whatever, you get the little swirly thing. That's the buffer filling up. And based on your internet speed, your system will calculate how long it needs to have in that buffer in order for all the packets to get put together in the right sequence. If that doesn't happen, that's when you get the glitches and the dropouts and the because the system's trying to fill in those gaps.
Hopefully you don't have abysmally slow speed so that the packets arrive and get it set in order just ahead of you to stay in
correct
order, and you can continuously watch. It's transparent to you as a viewer.
Now, your brother, who lives
in
the hinterlands now,
County,
he is finally able to actually get some internet, although it's like a DSL service, which is down there somewhere in the 6 megabit range. But it's better than just dialing up and waiting for the tweedletone.
Yes, definitely.
Not by much.
And supposedly, he'll get better stuff this fall, but we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Berners-Lee decided, he made a monumental decision. He released the source code for the web rather than keep it, and this would never happen now. He released it to the public. And within months, entrepreneurs were jumping on this saying, this is the way things are going. And the web was going to be this wide open, purely democratic means of exchange. Remember those days when we were told about the information superhighway? Al Gore was taking credit for it all. But this was going to be an entirely open means, and it was going to make it impossible for governments to and corporations
censor,
to control us and censor us and all that. Not so fast.
Yeah. That's pie in the sky stuff.
He was named one of the 20th century's most important figures by Time. He received the Turing Award, Alan Turing. Of course, if you have mm-hmm. never seen the Enigma game, please rent it. Benedict Cumberbatch puts out an incredible portrayal of this amazing man who was persecuted for his personal life.
Read the book?
Yeah, read the book. The book is not an easy read. That sucker's and paperback is about 3 inches thick.
Yeah, it's pretty thick.
Yeah. Now, he never really made a profit. Berners-Lee never made a big profit. In fact, of all the billions of dollars that Berners-Lee saw his creation, his child, generate, he did not make a direct profit. Now, he has stayed employed, of course, but he also saw, he was a little bit like Robert Oppenheimer in this respect, he foresaw how this all-encompassing worldwide web could in fact ensnare citizens within it. And he is saying these days, at the age of 63, by golly, look around you, look at what has happened. What happened when this last couple of years, revelations about the alleged hacking of the election that now looks less and less alleged, Facebook admitting it exposed data on 80 million of its users. In 2012, Facebook conducted those secret psychological experiments on nearly 700,000 users. There was a big stink about that. Google and Amazon have filed patent applications for devices designed to listen for mood shifts and emotions in the human voice. Walmart has just applied for a patent on a device where a set of microphones is placed over the checkout stand for quality control purposes. You know,
right.
And they
along
can literally
with security cameras, and
right.
They can prosecute people who abuse their people or catch their employees
in the
doing
ad.
Nefarious
right.
things.
That combined with facial recognition software and a speed of connection leads us down some pretty chilly directions. Now, there's people say, well, I won't have anything to do with any of this tech stuff. Well, guess what? You can do that all. You can go Kaczynski and hang out in a cave.
It's your, yeah.
It is a reality, and we have to keep our eyes on it, but you're not going to legislate this stuff back to 1965.
No.
Not happening.
No, not going to happen.
So, Werner Lee is looking at new software. He says, okay, my brainchild has been taken over by corporations and governments and is being misused a lot. It's doing a lot of good. It is sharing a lot of information.
Oh, yeah.
It is giving us powers that we never knew existed before.
Right.
But it is, yes, being abused. The social media tax in Uganda, which right now is resulting in huge riots. There was a story on the wire. That people are rioting over the social media tax. There's new software called Solid, and it doesn't give the details in this article. By the way, the article we pulled up is in Vanity Fair, and we're getting it through our Texture magazine app, which if you haven't, even though it's been bought up by Apple, I still highly recommend, if you love magazines and you got 20 different subscriptions, or if you've got 10 different subscriptions,
yeah,
a subscription to Texture, which you can share with your significant other, you can share with your family across multiple devices, is a hell of a good investment. And I guess Apple is going to simplify the pricing structure for Texture. But these are, rather than, these are full scans of the complete magazine, ads and all, just as if you were holding the paper copy in your scan in your hand. And now I understand, I love paper. Well, I love paper, too. But in terms of portability,
yep.
I'm looking at this article on my iPad.
Plus accessibility, too.
Yes.
Back issues, lots of different magazines. What I like about it is you can pick and choose.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we're derailed from your
when, on our
story.
Road trip, I had several books on my tablet that I was able to read without packing around a whole bag full of books. And then, of course, once you read the book, what do you do? You don't want to just toss it out or something. So this real interesting article, I'm not going to get too deep into the weeds about it, but his whole thing here, Werner Lee's,
so net neutrality must be really bothering
right.
him.
We, a great paragraph in the article here, again, this from Vanity Fair, the power of the web wasn't taken or stolen. We collectively gave it away with every user agreement and intimate moment shared with our technology. Facebook, Google, and Amazon now monopolize almost everything that happens online, from what we buy to the news we read to who we like. Along with a handful of powerful government agencies, they're able to monitor, manipulate, and spy in ways that would have made George Orwell just his eyes bug out. So the World Wide Web Foundation, which Berners-Lee is part of, they are looking at ways to tackle this problem. Now, of course, the corporations like the power that we have given them.
Of course. And the other thing is how long before government says, well, that's illegal to, hide. That's been a struggle. Privacy issues in that respect have been come up all the time.
So the idea here is to sort of blockchain the web itself. In other words, rather than have everything passing through single servers, we now have collectively individual personal computers that are just as powerful as the mighty server farms of just a couple of years ago. So almost a blockchain approach to a distributed network in the same way that we use blockchain technology to do a pretty much hack-proof spreadsheet because it has checks and balances built into it, spreading the data across hundreds of nodes, not unlike what happens when a botnet attacks, but there would be checks and balances built in through this what's called solid software.
Yes, I'm wondering how that would protect privacy better than...
Well, because apparently you are in charge of your own data,
mm-hmm.
according to Berners-Lee.
Novel concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, the thing that's insidious in many respects is a bank, the city hall, county courthouse, all of these things are interconnected. I mean, they can find you online just with your social security number, and hackers have that. They can do mm-hmm. anything. They can find all kinds of stuff about you. And you never said, it's okay for me to put that out there. Supposedly you did in these agreements, but really, I mean, you have no choice. It's like in Google, such and so wants to know your location, and if you deny it, well, you don't get to
use
that.
The app doesn't work, yeah.
Yeah, that's just stupid. Any app that's that restrictive, and especially when it's like a game, needs photo and needs access to your photos in your contact list. No, you don't.
How about checking into the unnamed motel?
Yes.
For the very first time, both of us had to show our papers.
Yeah.
Just to get a room.
Well, not only that, we didn't just show our ID.
You had to scan
the
ID.
They scanned it.
Yeah.
Yes, and put it in their system.
And so this is just
somewhere.
A major motel chain.
It was very irritating, and when asked, why are you doing that, the clerk
policy.
Had no idea.
Policy.
Yeah, it was just policy. That's the answer.
I was a little...
Policy against what? I almost said, let's go somewhere else.
Yeah.
It really...
And only the fact that it was pretty darn late at night.
Yeah,
and,
it was quite late. It was like 11.
We would have lost the money that we had spent. But
right.
It was...
They would have charged
very
us anyway.
Eye-opening.
Because
here we are. We were on
very,
camera,
it
obviously.
Was irritating.
Yeah.
And I said to the clerk, look, why does this have to happen? Well, this and Bob, so Bob made some kind of a comment to the clerk. You made some kind of a comment to the clerk.
I don't remember
about,
what I said.
Well, it was essentially, if something goes haywire and the cops show up, then they need to know who's here. And the clerk is, well, we can't share that with them anyway. So this had nothing to do with, public safety or anything like that. It felt very invasive. But anyway, I'm with you. If I hadn't been tired and late and would have lost money, I would have said, no, I don't think so.
Shows like this and, don't.
I'm not paranoid, but that was excessive.
It is. That's what consumers are going to do. People were saying that net neutrality will destroy anyone's access to the Internet and that the big corporations will just charge whatever they feel like. No, you hit a point as a consumer when you say, I don't really need that.
Or enough is enough.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
That's going to happen to Facebook.
It's not the
trust
value.
Me on that.
Well, this is why I don't post
much
on Facebook.
I give Facebook between 5 and 7 years unless they drastically alter their business model. It may be faster than that when the collapse comes. Look at how fast MySpace collapsed.
A Facebook implosion. Yeah, but what's next? Is it something with more security? I'm not sure.
Yeah. So, hey, we are live, 530-605-4567. You want to join in the conversation, also pop into the KCNR chat room. It's Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda. More tech news you can use after the messages. Might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
I am Dan, owner of Dan's Optical Lab. For years, I've made prescription eyewear for other eye doctors throughout the North State. Now I'm opening my lab directly to the public. You can purchase the highest quality in prescription eyewear, but directly from the lab. That means you get it faster and you get it for less. I don't just sell prescription eyewear, I make it. And because I do, I have to know more about the lens materials, designs, and frames that are available. If you want the highest quality in prescription eyewear, then go where the doctors go, Dan's Optical Lab. Faster for less.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomforts. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit. Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Welcome back. It is tech news you can really use. Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda. And guess what Monday is?
Monday. Well, it was just Friday the 13th. Monday.
Now, here we are just talking about the control over which what we buy.
Must be Prime Day.
Yes, it is Prime Day. And, we bought our first Echo during a Prime Day. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And the lady has lived in our house now for 2 years. Although she's a little jealous now.
Oh, yeah, she has a rival.
Because we changed her name to Computer, and we got a Fire Cube, which is kind of really improved our streaming video. Yes, Amazon is seeing what I'm watching. Big deal.
They see it anyway.
Yeah, they're going to see it.
I mean, if you get anything online like that,
you want to go to the video store and rent. If you go to Redbox.
Redbox keeps track of that, too.
And you put in your credit card, you've got an account,
yep.
That data is being kept. So you're not hiding. It is your choice, but make informed choices.
I mean, even in the days of video stores, they had track of record of what it is that you had rented.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just some form of this information has been around for a long time. That the difference today is that it can be monetized.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing.
So the Echo Show, a friend of ours has it. Now, I'm not real big on the Echo Show. It has a screen, and it can show adverts. You can load it up full of pictures. Our friend has pictures of his dog. cute varmint. But he's got a couple, three. He's got... Like, he's as bad as we are. He's got a couple of Googles. He's got, I think he's got an Echo Dot. He's got, I don't know, and he just bought a Fire Cube. Now, you can give your devices different names. Amazon, the Echo only gives you a couple of choices.
Mm-hmm. It's too bad you can't, name it whatever you want.
Well, that's coming.
Like a pet.
Yeah, or... Imagine the abuses.
Well, I suppose, yeah. Or the parrot could learn it and turn it on.
Yeah, yeah. But if you have, if we haven't scared the bejeebers out of you with all this corporate stuff, and you would like to get yourself maybe into a starter on an Echo, you can get a spot for $100, a little over $100, a show with the video screen. Is $100 off now. Actually, it's down to $129.
That's a pretty good deal.
$130.
That's a pretty good deal.
The Echo Show has flash briefings on video, Amazon video content, music lyrics. You can tie a security camera to it, weather forecasts in a graphical format. It'll do shopping lists. You can set it up to do Audible audiobooks. All hands free. Now, I am going to tell you that we've just been really getting into our Fire Cube, but we also have our Amazon Echo, who we have renamed in the best Star Trek condition as Computer, which is funny because whenever the word computer comes on TV, the little blue light flashes.
Or we just say something about the computer.
About computing, but... Either the device will say, I don't know what you're talking about, or say, I'm sorry, I don't know what you mean,
right.
And then go back to sleep.
I don't know about that. I think I heard one time.
Yeah.
Some pretty funny answers.
But we use the A word, since that's what most people's echoes are called, the lady's A word, which, by the way, has really dropped off in popularity as a baby name.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It took a big plummet after the Echo came out.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because as soon as you would call your kid that name, it would fire off the device.
Yeah. The neat thing about the Cube, of course, is that we have ours tied into a soundbar, tied through our TV and into a soundbar, which gives you really nice musical content.
Mm-hmm.
Quality. If you don't have a sound bar tied to your flat screen, you're really missing out on a whole. Just like back in the days when TV audio was through a 3-inch speaker.
Yeah. Well, those smart screen people assume you have some kind of audio system attached.
Right.
To
so
it.
They
really don't have a lot of audio development in that.
Of course, you can play music across multiple Echo devices with multi-room music. So if you're looking at getting into the Amazon ecosystem and you are a Prime member, which like 60% of households have a Prime membership or something
it's
like that.
It's amazing, yeah. Yes. It's a very high percentage.
So if you choose not to do this stuff, fine. But if you do, great deals this Monday on Amazon. Now we go on to another behemoth. We're just Google, of course.
You're on a ramp.
Oh, yeah.
sort of.
One of the big projects that they've been working on is Google Fiber. The FCC has decided that they're going to give individual companies access to utility poles. Right now, unless you are that utility, you have to pay the telecom to go install your stuff. Well, in the case of, say, AT&T, Google can't exactly ask AT&T in a cost-effective manner, can they use space on the AT&T pole to string the Google Fiber?
Right. Sort of a conflict of interest in a way.
Yeah.
For AT&T.
This is going to simplify the process, according to the article that came up in Engadget. They will still have to get permission, but unless the utility can show just cause why they can't allow this company to put stuff on their poles, they will be allowed to do it at a reasonable cost. Now, what this is going to enable, this Google Fiber, combined with the fifth-generation Internet, because the fifth-generation wireless, I mean, is small enough that it can be mounted at the top of a utility pole. The transmitter and antennas and all that are roughly the size of a backpack, and they don't have the reach of a 4G system because they're at a much higher frequency and more prone to scattering, but
they're cheap and you can put them everywhere.
They're cheaper and you can put them
everywhere.
As your need for more available channels increases, mm-hmm. you add more units to the system. Now, eventually you saturate, but it takes, you gotta have, it's like having several routers in a building. They have algorithms where they can work around and share the available spectrum. So Google did make a good argument, and so a solid fiber, you know, rather than a wireless spectrum is very limited. So having copper or fiber as a backbone to carry, you know, the long distance, and then wireless for short haul for the final jump is a viable solution. So I'm betting that AT&T is working on their own version of 5G because I've got the wires already.
You would think so because they are a major telecommunications provider.
Yeah.
That they would be crazy not to have something like this in mind for future planning and their business model development, et cetera. I mean, they, I'm sure, want to keep their share mm-hmm. of telecommunications business. And unfortunately, things are such today that you have to have this stuff. Mm-hmm. If you're in business at all or whatever, and I guess have to have this stuff is maybe a bit of an exaggeration. But if you're in business or you are doing a lot of things, it's just either easier to have the Internet or it's a necessity.
Yeah, yeah.
Many companies, if they lose the Internet, they're kind of down.
Yeah.
It used to be, you know, we're old enough to remember mechanical cash registers.
Oh, yeah.
And those were commonplace. But today, if the power goes out or the computer dies or the what have you, clerks in retail stores, what do I do now? You know,
where
so dependent
were
on these things.
Where were they? The computers were down, and darned if they didn't whip out an old-style credit card imprinter.
Oh,
remember
yes.
that? I forgot what store this was.
You had that. Yeah, I wasn't with you at the time.
Oh, my goodness. I about fell over laughing.
Yeah, we were somewhere, and they said, well, they hadn't really gotten around to getting out from underneath the counter, and it had come in handy. It had been useful a few times. And so it's like, oh, my gosh.
Well, yeah, they put the carbon paper thing in there, the little form.
Yeah.
Put my card in here, and, you know, and handed me the flimsy. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm back in the 1970s.
Yeah, it used to be. That's how they did business. Can you imagine that now? I mean, processing those must have been a pain.
Oh, well, yeah. I remember that was a big part of our clerks.
By
we
hand.
Had somebody who they just processed the credit card receipts. And when we finally went on a computer system and everybody was scratching their heads, we had two systems running in parallel. That's crazy.
And now even the store doesn't really touch that data. They have a supplier that verifies the veracity of the credit card or debit card or what have you that you're using.
Yeah. They have a point of sale or POS system, and sometimes they don't refer to that as point of sale.
Right. It does have another meaning.
Take a look at your charging cables. And I have noted that just because you only, if you're an Apple head, if you only use Apple stuff, I've had Apple cables just come apart on me, start splitting that very soft, flexible silicone.
Or if your varmints got a hold of it and started to chew on some things.
You might be tempted to just slap some tape on it and call it a day. But if your cables begin to fray, not only does that look good, and I am guilty. I've got at least two micro USB cables that are showing the shield around the cable, and I have to take them out of service. Now, if you are if you have a power brick, say on your laptop computer, and you've got some fraying going on the DC side. That can be inconvenient. It could cause problems. It could blow the power supply. If you see fraying or damage on the AC side...
No, that's dangerous.
That's very dangerous. That can cause a fire. That can cause bad things to happen.
It can shock you. Can do all kinds of things.
But even on the DC side, if you've got a charging cable and it has a malfunction, it could cause the lithium-ion battery in your device to overcharge.
This true.
Is
a bad thing.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how you get another kind of fire.
Yeah.
Or another fire source. So what Bob means by the AC side versus the DC side, AC side is the side that plugs into the wall to the outlet, and the DC side is the output to your device, just in case that wasn't clear.
Now, we have heard stories out of places like China where really cheap adapters have killed people. And the reason is they don't have the shielding inside the charger, and the current is allowed to pass through the circuitry into the phone, and people have gotten, seriously hurt or killed. This is why I tell people, well, first of all, none of those should be making it into the U.S., although we know it can happen.
No, it happens all the
time.
This
is why I would not buy a charging cable at a convenience store or the kiosk in the middle of the mall or the gas station, is that you really don't know what you're getting.
I think even sometimes the ones that are at more, shall we say, reliable sources like Office Depot and that sort of thing, when they're the ones that are up near the cash register that are incredibly cheap, I'd be very wary of those.
And this is especially true with USB-C, because USB-C has a current limiting resistor built into the connector. Well, these current limiting resistors might cost 1/10 of one penny each, but if you're building a million cables.
Right. And you eliminate that feature.
Or you put in a cheap one.
Oh, yeah, right. That can cause
that
problems.
That can short out, or it's the wrong size. This was a problem with early versions of aftermarket USB-C chargers, was that the resistor was the wrong size. That was actually blowing up devices. Well, if you plug your $2,400 MacBook Pro into an aftermarket USB-C charger and it blows up that MacBook Pro, you're going to be crying.
Yep. You are out of luck.
Yeah, and Apple's going to say,
sorry.
Sorry, Buckwheat. if your charger has a crack, if it's showing its age, come on, these things aren't that expensive. Your handset cost is, if you have to go buy it over again, it's going to cost you anywhere from $250 to $1,000.
Yep.
And if you blow it up because you were going cheap, and I learned this the hard way many years ago with my Sony Clay device. I had a charger that was supposed to be putting out 5 volts. Well, it short-circuited inside, put out 12 volts, and zapped the Clay. I was pretty upset because all my data went with it.
Yep, I remember that. You were very upset. So one of the things you can do is to look for cables that are well-built or reinforced at insertion points in the mm-hmm. plugs. And those are the better-built ones. There are also some what they call braided cables.
Well, we got some of these with a nylon outer braid.
They're a little bit stiff, but they're very, very durable. They don't wear and they don't do things. And another thing is don't...
These had heavy and heavy reinforcement yes. at the joints yes. where they would go into the plug.
Right. Because how many of you face it, admit it, grab the cord and just pull?
Just yank.
Yeah. I mean, we've all done it. Electrical cords are the same way for the vacuum cleaner or what have you, or your extension cords. It's too much trouble to walk over to the outlet and unplug it. Or things are a little stiff, so it's easier to grab the cord and just mm-hmm. pull. And that's just human nature. That is definitely the way we are.
Yeah. Now, one good source for things like car chargers and cables and things like that, again, going back to Amazon here, is Amazon Basics. They have to maintain a reputation because if they put out a product that is junk, mm-hmm. word is going to get out pretty damn fast. We have a car charger that is an Amazon Basics, and it's pretty good. It puts out what it says it puts out.
Yeah.
You know, it charges our devices pretty fast.
Yep. And remember, too, that you don't really want to put your device in a place where the cord is forced to go at a right angle. Outlets are famous mm-hmm. for that, where the cords are forced to go to right angles towards the floor or what have you. And they do make flat against the wall plugs much safer not to put the stress on the cord at some sharp angle near the, you know, the connector, the plug-in on either end.
Yep. Now, if you've got one of those infamous MacBook chargers and you're starting to see the cracks appear near the plug, this is what's happening on some of the newer MacBooks. Because they have these very nice, sleek cables that are unfortunately a bit on the delicate side. And right where they bend down near... By the way, I think giving up the MagSafe connector was a big blow it on Apple's. But they wanted the one port to rule them all, the USB-C. Where the single kind of port is supposed to be your power, your video, your data, and everything through that one connection. You end up buying an external docking port for your legacy stuff and your
much.
HDMI and
yep.
all that.
Yep.
But you can, there's a product called Sugru, Sugru, and it's a molded silicone plastic that stays flexible, but it's kind of goop. You can mold it by hand. And then once it sets up, it's about the consistency of rubber. And it will, it'll stick to darn near anything when it's in the semi-liquid state. And it's pretty good stuff, and you can use that to reinforce corners and connectors and things like that. But you want to do that before the cable starts to crack. But the article here in Popular Science did talk about, and this is one thing with that is a big thing for me, when you have a long cable, doing a roadie wrap.
Oh, so that's like around your elbow and your...
Well, you don't do the elbow and palm. That's the wrong way to wrap a long cable.
Right.
For the roadie wrap, you stretch the cable out, and as you draw it in, your thumbs are rotating, and you are following the lay of the cable. The cable has a distinct lay inside of it.
Right.
And so if you wrap it up correctly, and you've seen me go a little ballistic when people mistreat my cables.
Yeah. Well, I have a flat one I really like, mm-hmm. and I coil it. All my cables I coil in a circle.
Yep.
Try not to put, you know, bends in them. I do have a woven one that has bends in it, but they're instead of, you know, very sharp bends, they're mm-hmm. rounded folds in the mm-hmm. cable back and forth, you know, but
yep.
anyway.
By the way, interesting article about the right and wrong ways to charge your lithium-ion battery.
Indeed.
We talked about that.
Yes.
charging it up fully every night and leaving it on the charger all night long is probably not the best result. We do that because that's when it's convenient to have it done. It is actually better to charge the phone multiple times during the day. Well, that's not always convenient. I'm not always, but if you have one of those portable power packs,
yep.
And you can get one now for about $20 that'll charge your phone two or three times over. When you've got a minute, and the same in your car, you just plug it in for a couple of minutes and give the battery a little boost back. That's much easier on the battery than a 0 to 100% charge,
mm-hmm.
because that causes a lot of the more as you're feeding current into the battery, it heats up, and doing that over a period of time can cause lingering damage to the battery. So if you're just giving it little, it's like drinking water. You know, if you chug a lug a whole 5-gallon jug, you're going to feel terrible if you, you know, unless you have
that's some,
you may end up throwing up. If you take that same gallon and drink it glass by glass through the day, that's a whole lot better for you. And so it is with your battery. I just came up with that analogy.
What you're doing is you're making your battery a snacker.
Yeah, yes. Let your battery graze instead of binge.
That was the word I was looking for. That's right. Don't overfeed your battery.
Oh, dear me. Let's see what else the article says about here. I like that it is in Popular Science, and if you go to, of course, the Flipboard magazine and you subscribe, hint, hint, to Boomer Tech Radio, BOOMERTECHRADIO, Boomer Tech Radio, you'll find our magazine, and that's where we curate our stories. And you look for the Popular Science story titled, Don't Try to Fix Your Frayed Cable. There's actually a video of what's called the roadie wrap, and this is a professional roadie. In other words, the guys who make the rock and roll bands able to make all the sound,
mm-hmm.
how they wrap their cables. Because trust me, these guys are getting paid to make sure that the equipment works every time. They can't afford to be breaking stuff. If you wrap cables wrong and tear them up, you are going to be out of a job pretty darn quick, because you can't be setting up a gig in Des Moines and have the very expensive mic cable come apart on you. That's that's bad for business.
That would
20 minutes to showtime and you realize the lead singer's mic isn't working. That's why they do the sound checks.
Yeah, disastrous.
Yeah, that's why these guys get paid some pretty good dollars. Anyway, it's called the Roadie Wrap. There's a video in the Popular Science article, and you can find that article unless you want to go buy a copy of Popular Science and follow or go to the website. You just go to the Boomer Tech Radio magazine on Flipboard, and it will be right there for your viewing pleasure. Also for your listening pleasure, if you have iTunes, if you have the podcast app.
Stitcher.
Google Play, and or the new Google Podcast app. So there's two ways. If you're on the Android operating system, you can get to this podcast. It's either you can go through Google Play the old-fashioned way, or there's a brand-new Podcasters app that you can just go in. We checked, and we are on it.
Amazing. To the miracle of technology.
Through the miracle of electronics.
Yeah,
thank
electronics.
You very much, Jack Rebney. We found that our podcast is on there, along with millions of others. And Apple used to have a pretty good lock on the best ways to listen to podcasts, and Google just, you had to go through the Google Play Store and use their regular player. But the Google Podcast app is pretty darn good, and we recommend that, and we recommend, of course, that you subscribe to this podcast. There aren't a lot of tech podcasts, and we were listening we listen pretty routinely when we're on the road to Leo Laporte's show, which is a great podcast, The Tech Guy. And then there was one called This Week in Tech, which is also Leo Laporte with some industry folks and, mm-hmm. and media types, and I didn't like that one as much.
No, part
they
of
were more blathering.
Yeah, I preferred his normal.
It's a given
podcast.
That your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, Community Talk Radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. If his Twitter account is any indication, there are more things on President Trump's mind this weekend than his upcoming summit with Russian President Putin.
President Trump is spending the weekend at his seaside Trump Turnberry Golf Resort in Scotland. Aides have said he's busy preparing for Monday's summit with Russian President Vladimir Putin. But that's not keeping him off Twitter. He sent out tweets hailing the job market and Friday's bump in the Dow, blaming his predecessor for election hacking, and saying he's been hate-watching CNN. He's also acknowledged playing some golf, which has attracted protesters. Police kept the protesters at Turnberry a distance from the president, but they were within sight and did get a wave from him. I'm Ben Thomas.
At a Philadelphia conference of U.S. state secretaries of state, Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen said there are no signs that Russia is targeting the upcoming 2018 midterm elections for cyber attacks with the scale and scope it used in 2016. President Trump has not said Russia tried to influence the elections, and Russia's denied interfering. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says there's no reason to cancel Monday's meeting between President Trump and President Putin, despite new charges of the 12 Russian intelligence officers hacking into Democratic email accounts. Pompeo was flying from Mexico to Europe, and where he said earlier he talked to Mexico officials and said they had high regards for that country.
Mexico is an important and vital partner for regional and global challenges. As just one example, we're working together to help our partners in El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras reduce insecurity and violence, enhance their economic opportunity, and fight corruption in their countries. Progress in these areas will reduce the irregular migration that undermines the security of both the United States and Mexico.
You can check out more news. You can read more analysis. You can get them both at logging on to townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Pat Boone here again, and I assure you, I have never before endorsed a pain relief product. Not until now. Not until Relief Factor came along as a 100% drug-free solution for people struggling with ordinary pain. Quite simply, Relief Factor was designed by doctors to help relieve those occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, and everyday living. Let me ask you, are aches and pains keeping you from sleeping through the night? Or keeping you from taking those nice long walks or playing golf or tennis? You can't really call it living if you can't get around comfortably. The 3-week quick start from Relief Factor may be all you need to lower or even eliminate these pains. A whole lot of people have already gone to ReliefFactor.com, and here's something you need to know. The majority of people who order the 3-week quick start, now only $19.95, go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to ReliefFactor.com.
A drug pricing experiment approved for Oklahoma's Medicaid program could save taxpayers money and provide patients with the most effective medications.
Last month, the Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services approved a plan called value-based purchasing, in which a state would pay a drug manufacturer a set amount if its medication works as advertised, but only a fraction of that if it isn't as effective as promised.
Correspondent Dennis Crowley reports officials in Oklahoma say the state could save a couple of million dollars. of a couple of million of the approximately $650 million spent on prescription drugs last fiscal year. A wildfire burning near the west end of Yosemite National Park has scorched about 130 acres by early this afternoon. Now California officials say at least one firefighter has died while trying to quell the blaze. News and analysis at townhall.com. Eight critically endangered black rhinos are dead in Kenya.
This after wildlife workers moved them from the capital to a new national park, calling the toll unprecedented in more than a decade of such transfers. Preliminary investigations point to salt poisoning as the rhinos tried to adapt to saltier water in their new home. The Ministry of Tourism and Wildlife said in a statement describing how the animals likely became dehydrated and drank more salty water in a fatal cycle. The ministry suspended the ongoing move of rhinos and said the surviving ones in the new park were being closely monitored. Patrick Foss reporting.
Belgium has finished in third place of the World Cup by beating England 2-0. Belgium's previous best World Cup finish was fourth back in 1986. England hasn't managed to finish better than fourth since winning the championship in 1966. Of course, the big game is tomorrow. France and Croatia take the pitch. More on these stories at townhall.com.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive. Hello once again, Boomer Tech Radio. I am Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
Analog living in a digital world. You'd think I would... You know, there was a story about that millennials have trouble reading analog clocks.
Didn't we learn that?
5, 10, 15, 20, in order to figure out...
We lived in... We learned that in kindergarten, the era we grew up in.
But they're not teaching that because everything is digital. Well, apparently, being a child of the analog world, can't read a digital clock. If you've been listening, that's what happened right before the top of the hour. I thought we had another minute to go, and... There's an automatic commercial that kicks in. The computer automatically fires the spots where everything stays on track for the news. Well, I got off by a minute because I'm glancing out of the corner of my eye over at the clock to keep us on track, and that's why you heard the very abrupt ending to hour one.
Except that it. We were kind of done with that, so it was all good.
Yeah, we kind of...
It was all right. It wasn't like it was mid-sentence or something.
I paused for breath, and then I'm starting the theme music, and the commercial fires. It's like, oh, okay, well, no point in looking at that anymore.
You just need to do the show more live.
Yeah.
More often live, like we are today.
Yeah.
We are live. You can join in on the KCNR chat room, or you can even give us a call.
530-605-4567. Speaking of, we're talking about, we picked up a Prius. Got a pretty good deal on it. One of the nice things was that we could hook the iPad right into the Prius's sound system. And what's neat is that you could then control the iPad playback from, and apparently the Toyota Prius has one of the better in-car entertainment setups when it comes to Bluetooth, because most of the other because we rented it like I think it was a Nissan Altima.
Altima, yeah.
And I could not get that sucker to work.
It was not cooperating.
Yeah, it would not connect with, because you had to download some app.
Well, in fact, while we were listening to Leo Laporte's show, as you mentioned last hour, the applications for these cars don't always work. And a guy had a Honda, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
And apparently Honda's Connect app is notoriously bad.
Yeah, they have some third. They pay a third party. You know, Honda doesn't write that sort of code, so they pay a third party a contract with them to say, "Hey, write us this app." And the guy's, "Oh, here you go. It'll work fine." And then they take their check and run.
Well, and not all devices are playing very well with it. So yeah, we got
Bluetooth is a twitchy thing anyway. It was never really meant for the stuff we're asking it to do, like cassette tapes back in the day. They were never really meant for what we got them to do.
Yeah, we routinely use them for.
Yeah, the cassette tape was never intended as a music playback media because it's basically got crappy fidelity. Then along came Dolby and all. There was a whole industry founded on making crappy cassette tapes sound good.
Better.
Yeah. Well, special noise reduction.
The company
exists to this day.
We have yet to hook our phones to the car.
Yeah. Right now we've just done the iPads because so we could listen to music and
That's as far as we got. Yeah, but it hooked up almost instantly. I mean, you had very little. You didn't have to do much to make that happen.
Now, there's a list of some interesting high-tech gear goodies for your wheels. Now, one thing we discovered about the Prius is that the Prius has this curvy dashboard. And it's got a huge front window.
Yeah.
Huge sloped front window. But there's really no place to put your stuff up on the dashboard. But where the speedometer and the information display is, there's like a little cubby hole.
Right. So this, the Prius, if you've never seen one, doesn't have the look through the steering wheel to your dashboard. The information center is more centered on the dashboard and up much higher, almost like right below the windshield, the bottom edge of the windshield.
Right, so that you don't have to shift your gaze quite as much.
Well, horizontally you do, but not vertically.
Right.
So, just a different look.
So what we discovered is that part of it is a direct view LED display that actually adapts pretty well to lighting conditions. But the speedometer we discovered quite by accident, because Brenda said, "Oh, there's a neat little pocket here I can put my phone
there's
in."
There's a little shelf right there.
And the speedometer disappeared.
And it was always shady because it's quite an overhang on it.
Yeah,
so it was always, even if we were driving with, you know, the sun in our face or whatever, that place was out of the direct sunlight, which, of course, electronics don't particularly care for necessarily.
Yeah. So Brenda sticks her phone in there and the speedometer goes away.
Yeah. And it was like, what's wrong with the readout there? Okay, got to put my phone on the other side.
Realized it's a heads-up display. In other words, there's a tilted mirror.
Yeah.
A heads-up display, strictly speaking, you're able to look through and see stuff that's beyond it, so it superimposes the data on your field of view.
Right.
This is basically more like a periscope display.
Right. But the fact is that it's seeing something on the flat part of the dashboard and reflecting that up to where you can actually look at it. But I don't know why the whole thing isn't that way. I don't know. But anyway.
But, of course, in fighter planes, they use a heads-up display that you can see through it.
Yeah,
superimposes the information as you're looking. Because if you're in a fighter plane and you're being shot at, the last thing you want to do is have to look away and look at other stuff. Having vital information right there in front of you is a good thing. In a simple graphic format. And so it is with some cars. Cars have been experimenting with heads-up displays. Mostly they have trouble because of varying lighting conditions and the amount of distraction. But if you've always wanted to give a heads-up display a chance, there is the Hudley Wireless Smart Driving Head-Up Display. Plugs into the car cigarette lighter port and presents a 800 by 400 resolution format. It connects to your device, it has a high cool factor. I mean, you don't really have to have one of these things.
And you got to be careful how much stuff you put on your dashboard anyway, because then you can't see through that
it
stuff.
It looks like it glues to this dashboard.
Well, or it has some kind of mounting bracket.
Yeah.
I would be really wary of that part, though, because if it interferes with your line of sight and in driving the car analog, then you probably shouldn't put it up. You may get popped for having things obstructing your vision. It's like the big fuzzy dice hanging from your rearview mirror. Make sure they don't block your vision.
Now, we talked last hour about the cheap, cheesy chargers, especially cigarette lighter chargers. And if you get the ones that come in the fishbowl at the convenience store, you're probably going to be disappointed, because if you plug in a device that has a high power demand, it's not going to be able to deliver. Sometimes it won't charge at all. Sometimes you'll get the alert says you have plugged into a low current charger. I don't care what the package says. The device, when you overload it, the voltage drops and you start getting problems with your charging. There's a charger on the market from called Vog Duo, which gives you a pair of USB-C outlets. That's the one with the little blue tab. Now, the USB-C you can plug in either way.
Right.
So I haven't seen too many USB-C to USB-C cables. And that appears to be what this thing has. It has 30 watts of power, rapid charge technology, which is kind of neat. Rapid charge technology feeds a little extra voltage into phones that have the circuitry for it. And it'll actually bring back your, we were talking about, letting your device graze, give it sips instead of chugs. This is real good for that technology. But you can get them for about $21, places like Amazon and all that. Now, something that should be in your trunk, and then this is kind of cool. Now, I've seen these at Sea Crane, and I've seen them at other companies. Emergency flashlight with a crank, so you don't have to worry about the batteries. They have a capacitor in them, and you can crank them to charge up the battery inside.
Yep.
And then what it also gives you is a USB outlet. I think the Sea Crane unit does that. This one is the one tack safety charge. They're about $45. It's a weather resistant flashlight. Has a built-in emergency radio, a siren to get somebody's attention, a charger to keep your devices powered. Because it is a crank up charger, you don't have to worry about opening and taking the thing out and having the white powder fall out of the battery compartment, which just irritates the daylights out of
you.
You know that's become an increasing thing.
You have to check your devices. We've gotten so that if we haven't operated something with batteries or don't operate something with batteries for very long, we'll pull the batteries and then insert batteries again when we want to use the device, because these alkaline batteries today,
they are designed to self-destruct.
They're horrid. They leak. It's ridiculous. I don't know how many things we've had ruined by those things leaking.
So unless you are locked into a single gadget ecosystem, like you're all Apple, or even if you're all Apple, unless they're all of the same recent vintage, but if you've got an iPhone, you have a Lightning connector on it. Although the new iPhone is reputed to be coming out with a USB-C.
Oh, imagine that.
Jeez. That has not been verified yet. But
That must be killing Apple to conform to the rest of the world.
Yeah. Of course, our Samsung Notes have USB-C.
Mm-hmm.
And USB-C is the one that you can plug in either direction.
Right.
And it doesn't care. It's not
right.
Like the micro USB that if you try to force it in the wrong way, you're going to destroy the plug. And you want to be very careful about that, because if your eyesight is like mine, it's not, like mine was back before I had my cataract surgery.
I don't know. Like mine is without my glasses.
Yeah.
I can't read anything or see small details.
You know, if the plug isn't sliding right in, don't force it, you know.
Even if you think you have it right side up, you probably don't. I get into trouble with a micro USB all the time. That's where the Lightning or the USB-C are very nice.
Now, if you have a multiple device ecosystem, as we do, because we have my iPad, we have the Samsung tablets, which have micro USB, which has the little D-shaped connector.
Have our phones.
We have our phones, which have a USB-C. So theoretically, in your vehicle, you got to have three different connectors flopping around in the car compartment.
Right.
If you keep your cables in the center console or whatever. Triton sells a 3-in-1 cable for $12.99.
We should get one of these. I need one of these.
It's got fairly good-sized wires because it's got high-speed charging. and a braided jacket,
yeah.
And it has all three of the popular connectors at the business end. In other words, it's got the regular USB connector at the end that goes into the charger socket. And then at the device end, it has a micro USB, a Lightning, and a USB-C.
Can you charge one device, more than one device at a time?
I would only I would think that depends on the capability of your charger.
The wall wart.
Yeah,
so
the charger or the car charger.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of nice in that you're not constantly fishing around. Oh, wrong cable. Which I do at my. I got a bag full of cables.
Yeah, or the little adapters that I can never find.
You got your bag-o adapters.
I have my bag-o things, yes. And the only thing I see about this is maybe a little bit of a weak point there where the Lightning connector and the USB-C come off of the end.
Yeah, they come out at right angles.
Yeah, and they come out at right angles, and those wires look a little fragile. Yes, they do look a little fragile, so they need to improve that.
Good idea. Now, when we got our Galaxy phones, they came with an adapter. I don't know if you've managed to hang on to yours.
I did.
That adapts micro USB to USB-C. And I keep that on my desk because I know if I try to haul it around with me, I'm going to lose it immediately. The stock Samsung USB-C cable isn't bad, but we went on Amazon and picked up some USB-C heavy-duty braided cables. Now, I haven't gotten into using mine, but it comes with, I think these were like $15.
Yeah, they weren't very expensive.
They've got reinforcements on them. It's got a little cable keeper. Now, the disadvantage of these is that they are a little stiff because they're a heavier gauge wire,
right.
And they've got this braid on the outside, but they're heavily reinforced.
Right. They have nice reinforcement at the plug ends. I mean, it would take forever to wear this thing out.
Yeah. And it's got a little cable keeper that when you coil it up, it snaps on and holds the thing neatly together.
Nicely together. It doesn't put any kinks in it or sharp angles or any of that stuff. It's pretty cool.
So you don't have to learn to use the roadie wrap. You can just coil this thing up and snap it together.
Yeah, it sort of has wire memory in it. And you can get it at various lengths, too.
Yeah. I think we opted to get the 2-meter.
6-foot one, yes. Yeah. Close enough to 6 feet.
But you can get them in 1 meter and 3 meter. You don't want to get a USB-C cable that's over, like, 3 meters. That's kind of pushing the limits
of the USB universal
serial bus. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be just over 9 feet.
Yeah, close enough to 10 feet makes no difference. A couple of U.S. senators are demanding that the Federal Trade Commission probe policies and practices of smart TV makers when it comes to personal privacy. And this is a thing that has been bandied about in Australia. It was discovered that Samsung TVs were routinely turning on their microphones for the voice-controlled TVs.
I just roll my eyes and shake my head. What is it with these people? Why? Are they trying to do, Mystery Science Theater 2000 or whatever and listen to people's comments?
Trying to get people's reaction.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Really, most people don't really talk during a movie, you know?
Now, federal law. Now, of course, the feds want to get involved in the middle of this and what they, your viewing habits. Now, on one hand, by noting what you've watched. For instance, you can go into Netflix and every movie you've ever watched, including that very ill-advised 10 p.m. R-rated film.
Well, maybe worse rated than that.
Yeah.
We'll be there.
We'll be on that list.
Yes.
And your viewing history dictates what's going to be presented to you as suggestions.
Yes.
And we have actually discovered interesting shows through that service.
Right, but it also leaves some things out that you might be interested in watching. You'd have to go actively search for them. So it narrows your selection down, I think.
Yeah.
That, you know, you might always watch, chick flicks or something.
Or reruns of Cheers or something.
Or something like that, but maybe you decide you're going to branch out or somebody told you about something that sounded interesting, and how are you going to find that?
Now, well, I understand what these senators want. I'm a little leery of barely informed lawmakers passing blanket laws that inhibit the ability of these devices to provide the services that we have come to expect. And sometimes these folks get a little bit over the top in terms of saying, well, we don't really understand what this does, so we're not going to let it do anything. Are there privacy problems raised by smart TVs? Possibly. One of the things is that stuff over the internet, of course, is not under the same scrutiny as rules. Now, what I would object to is if the federal government said, well, we want to know what this person is watching because it may help us build a profile, but we don't want the companies to know what this person is watching.
Hmm.
Right?
Well, the concerns of these senators is that essentially the smart TVs can compile detailed profilers.
Right.
Of viewers' preferences. And they insist that it may even, recent reports suggest, according to this article, that smart TVs can identify users' political affiliations based on whether they watch conservative or liberal media outlets.
Well,
and, of course, well, that would lead to more targeting or knowledge of
political ads.
It could be political ads, or it could be just the fact that, look at the demographics in a neighborhood. And it's this way or that way, or why do they even need to know that stuff anyway?
Right. So I guess informing the consumers
is
what they're after.
Right.
I hope that they don't think that they can just blanket block this stuff because that turns into censorship.
No, it apparently their biggest concern is that these entities are collecting essentially what amounts to sensitive or private information without informing the consumer completely about how it's going to be used or the fact that they're even doing it or where that information could go. And there are other industries that are regulated like that. And it still annoys me that for most of these things, you have to opt out.
Mm.
You're automatically in unless you opt out.
Right. It's like that earlier we were talking about the corporate control over data management. And, yes, it should be an opt-in rather than opt-out.
Right.
And, yeah, these companies are going to lose money. Wah. And the first three, while the Facebook scandal and the Google scandal was taking place, in that 3 months, the Facebook, Google, and Amazon made a combined $60 billion. With a B, dollars,
yes,
in the first 3 months
of
the year.
Yes, I'm so sorry. They might lose out on a few billion.
So they might lose a few bucks.
Yeah.
And
before the capability of the internet or smart TVs or what have you to collect this information, these companies didn't have this stuff.
Yep.
And they had to work harder. And it bothers me that everything is insidious. It's these ads or what have you. They target you. It's just... Maybe I want to branch out and learn something different. Maybe I want to look at another point of view.
Yeah.
When I check news sources online, I go to both liberal and conservative media. They have different points of view.
So, Brenda, a confession here.
But apparently that's thinking.
I was watching computer porn this morning.
You must be envious of new toy.
The new MacBooks are out.
Yeah, huh.
Yes, folks, if you've got about $3,000 to spare. Now, when... Which is a lot of money.
Yeah.
However, let's think about this. 20 years ago, you could spend $3,000, and in fact, the first time that laptops went under $1,000, it was a headline thing. One of your first portable computers was probably in the $3,000-$4,000 range that you had there at work.
Oh, yeah, at work. I don't know how much it was.
That was
a lot of money.
In deflated dollars. So, yes, the MacBook is a very high-priced machine, but there have been some problems, and it looks like the new generation of MacBook Pros have resolved the infamous keyboard problem. If you recall, we've reported it on this show. gunk and particles and dust and cat hair and dander and who knows what else would get under the keys and jam them up.
Coke.
Yeah. Well, not liquids in your keyboard are really bad. Or spilling beer. I spilled beer on a keyboard once. That was really exciting.
What a waste of beer.
Yeah, it was a waste of beer, and that was the end of the keyboard. But no, just regular, like, pet dander and things like that.
Sure.
Would gum up. And if you've got a $2,500 MacBook laptop and it suddenly the A key stops working or the space bar quits working because some tiny piece of dust got in there, it's a little bit irritating. So Apple has redesigned, and even as they have been doing the Humpty Dance, trying to avoid a wholesale recall of the MacBook Pro, the new generation of MacBooks has a little extra, a piece of silicone under the keycap to keep stuff from getting in there.
Oh, nice.
So anyway, I was looking at the new MacBooks, and I'm still struggling along on my 2012, which is adequate, but, boy, the new machines are real, real...
Hot rods.
Hot rods, you betcha. Back with one more segment of Boomer Tech Radio right after this. Since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F West Side Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or Douglas Wright Law.
A full-service spa is our most amazing amenity at Wind River Resort and Casino that will cleanse away your stress and renew you. Step inside and begin a relaxing journey that will soothe the mind and awaken the spirit at Wind River Spa. Indulge in our beautiful spa overlooking the calming waters of Clear Creek. Let us help you unwind your mind, body, and soul with catered and customized treatments. Our spa is modern, serene, and clean here at Wind River Spa. Our exceptional menu of treatments allows allows you to select services that will calm the mind, body, and soul. Spend an hour or spend a day with us, offering massage, facials, nail care, and waxing, featuring farmhouse fresh products for skin care and body treatments. We're the only spa in Reading that has a steam sauna for both men and women. Book your appointment today at 530-245-9494. Download the Wind River app. Gift certificates available for purchase. Relaxation is better at the river.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
And one more time, Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda. That catchy theme music, which we've been using for nearly 10 years now. It's called 8-Bit Junkie. Sounds like an old Atari theme. Composed and performed by George Wood and is being used by permission from him very own self. Wrote him an email, said, hey, can we use this? And he said, sure.
And if you
just mention my name.
Yeah, just mention in my name and... And been many years ago.
I really enjoy composers who the creative process. Speaking of the creative process, just an aside here. It's a tough show to watch, from any point of view. But if you want to see some of the best examples of cinematography,
technical art of shooting.
A production
right.
on video, Handmaid's Tale on Hulu. I don't know who their director of photography is, but what a phenomenal talent. It may be tough for some people to watch, but the composition of the shots, if you watch it strictly from that point of view, the composition of the shots and and how they contribute to the art of the storytelling,
right.
absolutely amazing.
Yep.
In fact, I lose the thread once in a while because
caught in the technical details.
That sometimes is a problem. You know, when a director of photography or somebody's making a commercial gets so good that the method overrides the message.
Right, but the
imagery.
What's interesting about the series, as we were talking about the other day, is that there's really not a lot of dialogue, and the dialogue that's there is fairly repetitive.
They let the visual tell the story.
They do. They let the visual. So this is a challenge for the actors because they can't talk.
Yeah.
So much has to be in body language or limited dialogue, and there's so much in it. Conveyed by the body language as well as the scene and
the
how they play this,
and
the
what's
framing
in, yeah.
exactly.
Nothing so is left to chance.
Part of that, yeah, part of that technical expertise is that the framing and the view or the whatever is exactly that. It's part of the story. It sets, it tells you something without any words being said.
Yeah.
It gives you impressions. The imagery gives the feel and the look of what it the part of the story. A very interesting production. It's definitely not for younger viewers, I would say.
No, absolutely.
It's very definitely mature adult themes.
Well, they tell you right off the bat.
They do, yeah, for mature audiences because there's so much of it is, and it's almost depressing. And so much happens. A lot happens in each episode, but at the end of every episode, you're just going like, it's a cliffhanger, and it's like,
yeah.
you just want to binge watch it because you got to find out what's going on. But at the same time, you don't want to binge watch it because there's so much to digest in an episode. It would overload you. Yeah, exactly. I don't think we could do more than two episodes at a time.
Emotional burn.
Yeah, it would. It's really, really interesting. It very well acted. But that's the fun of it. When you're actually in a video production like you are, Bob, not me so much, you're the talent there. You know how things are done, and then you see a really good example of something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard not to appreciate the artistry and get caught up in the technical details. In fact, since becoming aware of these things, both in the audio world and the video world, I find it really interesting to go back and watch movies that I'd seen before, mm-hmm. which I have a lousy
Why
memory of anyway.
Why did they frame that shot
right.
in that way?
Or we've been known to back up a show to look at a particular technical approach again
yeah.
to see how that technical aspect helps tell the story. And it gives a certain feel to that scene, or it gives you a point of view to that scene. It's mm-hmm. interesting. So it's kind of fun, actually, to have that technical knowledge
yeah.
and then go watch productions and pick that apart. And it's not unlike live theater. I mean, if you've been involved in
the
set
staging,
dressing
yeah.
and the staging part of it and that sort of thing, you would appreciate people's talent with that. But it probably would detract less from your view of the production than it does with film, but I could be wrong about that. But it's still really interesting.
Yep.
I think it's made me more interested in movie making and things like that. I used to watch this little show that was on television. I think it was on Discovery Channel called Movie Magic.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a half-hour show, and they would show how the special effects were done and how they tricked the eye and all that sort of thing. But in high definition, that's even harder to
yeah.
do. And makeup has to
Hard
be
Hard to make
impeccable.
It just happen with a glass plate. And
yeah, yeah. It's fascinating. So I've always been interested in the technical aspects of things. So I really enjoyed that show. It was too bad that they got rid of that. It was like the British production, I think it used to be on public television, The Secret Life of Machines.
Yeah.
That was really well done.
Well, if you are a movie geek, of course, Cinefex magazine. Is and you can get
oh, yeah.
it on your iPad, but you have to have buy the iPad app separate from the hard copy. I'd like to get the hard copy and flip through it, but they pick four or five movies every issue, and it only comes out six times a year.
Yeah, it's an industry magazine,
yep.
really. I mean, it's written for industry people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not written for the movie enthusiast. It's a little more in depth.
Well, it's written for the enthusiast and the insiders.
Yeah, but it's more of an industry based.
Unless you're a geek, it's not.
Yeah, it's more of an inside industry based type of thing. It's not, you know.
But the pictures are just amazing.
Oh yeah, and then they talk about some of the technical details. So then you got to go watch the movie all over again to appreciate the seamlessness or the. You know, how they did special effects, it's like you can't really tell where the computers got the crowd designed and those are real people in the crowd.
Yep. Issue number one covered Aliens and Star Trek the Motion Picture. And true story, and I had, for years, a copy of Cinefex number one. I wound up with it. It was in a film class that I was in. But they talked about the trials and tribulations, and we've mentioned that on the show. The Star Trek the Motion Picture, 1979, was in the middle of production when the producers realized that their effects were absolute crap. the movie was slated for release.
Right, they had a hard line.
They
deadline.
Were on a very hard deadline, so they brought in a gentleman by the name of Douglas Trumbull. Who used some new techniques to create some of the special effects. And if you go back and look at it now, come on, it's almost 40 years ago. The effects look kind of laughable, but
well, at the time, and the time frame that they had to work with.
Yeah, he did some pretty amazing stuff. He used a lot of tricks to create, and we actually wound up meeting Mr. Trumbull some years ago. And actually, I was complimenting the movie before I even knew who I was talking to. So. great fun. But movie magic, the equipment, we have companies shooting movies right here in Shasta County. There's one company that is shooting an anthology series that is being, these are guys in Reading, right? They're producing an anthology series that is being displayed worldwide on Amazon Prime. And you think about that. This is done with very small budgets. The equipment fits in a van, if not in a couple of backpacks, and they're able to shoot higher quality stuff than major Hollywood movies of just a couple of years ago. Now, the storyteller's art still has to be there. You have to have the eye. You have to have the editing skill to put together a good story. But the equipment has gotten, from a relative point of view, dirt cheap.
Yep. That makes it easy for just about anybody on any budget to be able to do some of this stuff.
Yeah, a Panavision camera, which you weren't able to buy them. You actually only rented them.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And that was the standard when they were shooting all in 35 millimeter and later in 70 millimeter. You rented those cameras, and the costs of those things was just astronomical. Well, now the equipment itself is fairly cheap. You've got smaller crews. Most of the expenses are now in the legions of people who work in post production. You've noticed that. If you looked at movie credits from 1980. The credits are done in about 9 seconds.
Yeah, they're very, very short.
Now it's 15 minutes really tiny print on the names.
That and now it's such that anybody that removed a dust bunny from the set gets in the credits, you know. It used to be only principal type folks, and a lot of the background people were sort of hidden from view.
The army of digital artists.
But it's just amazing.
Yeah. And you may have 10 or 12. Unlike when a Marvel Comic Universe movie, you might have 10 or 12 major effects houses, each of which has a specialty creating the effects, which is really fun to look at.
I'm waiting for the time when someone produces a movie like, Driving Miss Daisy or something like that. It's more of a drama. It's more about people that they don't have all of these special effects and things like that.
There's some stories. There's a lot of movies about that.
Yeah, but they just don't do that.
There are entire movies being shot directly on an iPhone.
Yeah, there's that too.
And released in high enough quality to release to theater.
Pretty amazing. Just amazing.
But one of the big tools in the toolbox for modern cinematographers and editors, of course, is MacBook Pros. Now, you can edit on big, heavy workstations, but a lot of productions edit on these MacBook Pros. Now, the MacBook Pro has not the world's greatest graphics built in. One of the solutions there, and if you're a nerd in this sort of thing, you'll recognize the name Blackmagic. And Blackmagic, to go with the new updated MacBook Pros, is selling an external graphics processor unit. So this thing plugs into your MacBook Pro and does all the heavy lifting for the video processing. Now, I tell people one of the cheapest upgrades, if you've got a computer that's a couple of years old, there's two things you can do to give yourself a cheap upgrade. First of all, increase the amount of RAM, if you can. And second of all, change out your graphics card.
Mm-hmm.
And for anywhere from $100 to $500, you can just make like a whole new computer, because now the workload of generating the pictures, especially if you do gaming, that workload is shifted onto your graphics card. And I put in a new graphics card when I built my gaming machine. I upgraded from the NVIDIA card that was in it. I went to a ATI card and was really impressed with the quality of the graphics. It's not quite a 4K card. That's something I'll look at in a couple of years. But it really did improve the quality, the frame rates and things like that when it came to graphics. Anyway, the Blackmagic external GPU has Thunderbolt 3 ports, USB ports, and HDMI ports. So it's also a docking station along with being an external graphics processor.
I know you. You're mentioning all this because you're trying to indoctrinate me and soften me up into getting these new toys.
Well, not quite yet.
Oh, okay.
Hey, this sounds like something that only a paranoid person would think of. Should you wrap your car keys in aluminum foil?
Give your car keys a tin hat,
A tin foil hat. That's right. A report from the Detroit Free Press says there's a high-tech version of car theft. Thieves are roaming around with special equipment to pick up the signal from your key fob. Now, this is showing up around the world. Now, one thing, we had never had something like the Prius before. We have two 15-year-old vehicles, or had two 15-year-old vehicles, which were just fine. You know, we had the Prius, you know, it has no key. You get in the car, and it recognizes the fob in your purse or pocket.
Right. Yeah, you don't have an ignition key.
You get in, and then you tap the button, and you're off and running.
Even more so, if the car is locked, you walk up to it with the fob, touch the driver's door handle, or maybe any door handle, but I know the driver's door handle for sure, and it'll unlock, let you in.
Yeah. Unfortunately, since this is a radio signal that is transmitted, even though it's over a short distance, your key fob is constantly it picks up a signal from the car. It's like a transponder.
Right.
It picks up a signal from the car and responds with its own code.
Right. It's like, hello, hello. Yeah,
hello.
And, hello.
Oh, hi, I'm me. Okay, I'll mark the door.
That's right.
Well, thieves have taken to
recording the signals?
Well, capturing these signals. Yes, they walk around with a device in their pocket that emulates a car's inquiry signal. And then the fob responds. This is real popular with, like, people are stealing the Teslas, some of the new Fiats, but Ferraris and things like that.
So analog has its advantages.
Analog has its advantages. Now, I imagine there's going to be... Now, aluminum foil is kind of a cheesy, low-tech solution, but I imagine there's going to be, just like you can get the wallets for your credit cards that will protect the RFID chips
yes.
from being
mm-hmm.
from being hacked,
mm-hmm.
is going to be like a lining for your purse or maybe just a little bag in your pocket you can drop the fob into. Then, of course, you would have to take it out so that your car can read the fob.
Well,
high-end cars are bigger targets, though, so if you've got... you know, that Escalade or you know, a Tesla or something like that, they want to consider some means keeping your signals from getting into the hands of somebody who may decide to drive off with your car. Experts say you invest in a pouch or bag that blocks electromagnetic signals. It might be annoying to pull your keys out, but it's better than standing there looking at an empty parking space.
Of where you thought your car was.
Yeah.
And where you know you left your car last you saw it. Oh, dear me.
This is not exactly running rampant, but it is a thing that has happened.
What do you call it? What will the thieves think of next?
Exactly. Top of the show, we mentioned Texture, which was recently acquired by Apple. And Texture, if you're a magazine buff, if you're spending $100 a year on magazines, well, let's say, which is real easy to do,
mm-hmm.
if you have multiple subscriptions.
And there's other magazines you would like to subscribe to, but you're mm-hmm. not sure you want to read them every month. That you know from experience, occasionally they have articles that you're interested in, but you don't want the whole issue. Or even magazines that you currently have and consistently turn to a certain section and ignore others, which
yeah.
a lot of us do. Not many magazines do we read cover to cover.
Right, and you can pick, and it actually, now here again, it's gathering data, but because I reference tech magazines and look at tech articles, those are tending to float to the top when I open the Texture app.
Right.
I see articles that I might be interested in popping up to the top of the feed, which is kind of handy.
Google does the same thing with you when you visit websites. They'll, when you go to open a new tab, then it'll list those that you've been to most frequently.
Now, some people have really freaked out that you know, Apple has bought Texture and they're going to slap all kinds of restrictions on it and possibly discriminate against magazines that say bad things about Apple. I don't see that because consumers will not put up with it. Apple consumers especially are pretty they're loyal to the brand, but if you mess with them, they are vicious. Witness the whole thing about the keyboards.
Yep.
Apple put out a bad keyboard and people just went
bonkers
pretty
over it.
Rabid.
Yeah. Well, with some justification.
Yeah. Well, when you spend that much money on a MacBook, you want the darn thing to work. I have now a friend of ours. Now, this was an interesting case. Friend of ours said that his nephew's Mac wouldn't boot.
Oh yes.
Now, normally what you do with a Mac of a more recent vintage is that you it has an internet recovery option. You plug it into the wired internet, and you push a key combination, and it will go to Apple's servers and download a fresh copy of the operating system. This is in case part of the boot has gotten messed up or you've accidentally erased certain files, which is what this individual did. He was told, well, if you take these files out, it'll speed up your system.
They were crucial operating
Never
files.
Never take that advice.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you don't get a disk anymore with, and for a time, there was a recovery partition on the Mac, and you held down a certain key combination, and it brought up the recovery partition. Well, that has gone away because Apple wants you to do this internet recovery, so you get the latest version.
Yeah.
Well, if you're not connected to the – if you've got the new Mac, which has USB-C connectors – and you've got an Ethernet router with the big phone plug on it, you know, the big RJ45 plug.
Right.
So what I suggested to our friend is there should be a USB-C to Ethernet adapter. And then what you do is you plug that in directly to a router, so it's not a wireless connection because
the wireless
connection can't work until the computer boots. But if the computer doesn't boot, then it's not getting the wireless connection.
That's what's known as a tight bureaucratic circle.
A TBC, yes.
And so that's one thing I was going to say here is that you need to emphasize that this is a wired fix-it.
Right.
This is not something you're going to be able to accomplish wirelessly.
Because the wireless settings are inside the operating system. Well, if the operating system can't start...
Right. Now you're running around in circles.
Right. It can't find your router if it doesn't know the address. Well, the address is encoded on the hard drive.
Which you have to boot up to get.
Right. So I'm going to assume that if you have the USB-C to Ethernet adapter, now you hold down the key combination, and you can look this up. It's a Control-Alt-R something on your Mac. It will boot up into a recovery screen and go get the operating system.
Yeah.
Now, if you've had a full-on hard drive crash, you may be strictly out of luck.
Yeah, that's a different issue. That might be a hardware issue that you're facing.
Yeah, it has been known to happen.
They are devices, after all.
Now, every once in a while on this radio station, you will hear the two-tone alert of the EAS, the Emergency Alert System, what we used to call the EBS. Remember the Alert, the Emergency Broadcast system. That's the old days. But we still have the two tones that make a very annoying noise. I cannot repeat them on the air because...
They will trigger things.
That triggers things down the line. Now, EAS made the news, of course, for the false alarm back in Hawaii. In addition to hearing it on your radio, of course, smartphones are now set up to respond. And the first time this happened to us, we were up in Coos Bay at a restaurant. And all of a sudden, remember, everybody's phone started going off with the two tones.
Yep.
And I think it was an Amber Alert.
It was an Amber Alert. What was interesting was the difference in timing the people's phones.
Yeah, the different networks were feeding out the alerts at different times.
Well, even we were on the same network and we got it at different times on our phones. It wasn't like they just simultaneously, everybody gets it all at once. That would have been really weird.
Yeah. EAS used for everything from thunderstorms to nuclear war, so it'll be interesting to see. There's going to be test messages sent out, so that may be annoying. Speaking of annoying, I got enough time to address this. I'm getting pretty darn sick of getting the spam calls from the solar company and on my mobile.
Yeah, very aggressive solar people.
And they trick you by using a local phone number.
Yep, and they change it.
And they rotate the number.
Yep.
So when you get this... if you're really motivated, of course, you can call the State Public Utilities Commission. And unfortunately, all they can do is it's like the...
whack-a-mole.
It's whack-a-mole because these guys, these operators. But ultimately, simply refuse to have anything to do with these people. Don't ever buy something unsolicited on the internet.
They verbally bully you, and that just is unacceptable. So, you know, until you can speak to me civilly, go away.
Yeah. Be gone.
Yes.
And we're going to be gone for this week's episode of Boomer Tech Radio. I want to thank you very much for listening. Download the podcast. Subscribe to the Flipboard magazine. Check us out at boomertechradio.com for replays and show notes. It's Bob and Brenda saying, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe and be good to each other. Car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school, or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.